We kind of switched it around, me and Steve, so that I could do the morning lessons. But I thank the elders here, and all of you of the house of God. I know that you didn't come here to hear me today. You came to worship God and to hear the words of God, that you may worship God in spirit and in truth. And may God bless and keep you. Lynn said something about the bulletin in the back. You know, in the front on the bulletin in the back, it reads, "Welcome. The Church of Christ at Bel Air is not a part of a denomination." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 13. We are simply a local body of Christians. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Who meet together to worship the Lord. Acts 20 and verse 7. And whom do God's work together. 1 Timothy 5, 16. Whom funds are given on a free will basis by members each first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. We have no clergy. Matthew 23, verse 8 to 12. But are composed of bishops, pastors, and elders. But the word that when you hear pastors in the church, it don't mean what the world look at as pastors. That means the eldering body, not a single pulpit preacher. Deacons and saints and members. In Philippians 1 and verse 1. We follow Christ in his word. Ephesians 1 verse 22 and 23. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17. We strive to give scripture authority for all we believe and teach and do. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17, and 2 John 9. Our worship is not according to human traditions. Matthew 15, verse 7 and 9. But in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 23 and 24. Members of the church are expected to live holy lives. That's 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. In 1 Corinthians 5, our hope is a home in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 5. With that in mind, I'm going to speak to the new converts. I'm going to speak to the old Christians today. I want to speak to everyone out in this assembly. And what I want to talk about today is the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the New Testament. I want to talk to you about why we do things in the way that we do them. I want to talk to you about why we don't do a lot of things you see other religions doing. And I hope you understand that it's not our will, but that God's will be done. It's not in man, the Bible says, to direct his own steps. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end of thereof is the way of death. In Matthew 15 and verse 19 says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, false witnesses, and blasphemers. Those are the things that defile the man. But in Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace we are saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves, it is the will of God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We as the children of God know that we can do all things in Christ. That's our strength. But we must pray without ceasing because that is the will of God. The Bible reads in 2 Timothy 3:14, said, if any man obeyeth not the word of the epistles, note this man and have no company with him that he might be ashamed. That's the problem that we have today. There is no shame in the religious world today. We hear people using the words, my church, my money, my people. Everything belongs to the people. Nothing belongs to God today. As I was walking out one Wednesday evening, getting ready to come to Bible study, and this little kid that's next door to me, him and I, we would discuss God, and he would come over to where the basketball goal was, and he would tell me all the things that God do and what God don't do. He was maybe 8 years old at the time, you know. And as me and him discussed God, I got to find out a lot of things in the religious world that is not according to real doctrine that is taught. They was teaching him, but they was teaching him not according to God's word. So the kid, he told me, he says, I'm the next, he told me, he says, I'm going to get baptized next week. The kid's foster mother was not a Christian. Her worship was not according to God's plan. You know, I want everybody to be baptized. But it's a shame when one is immersed and the angels don't sing. There's no rejoicing in heaven. The zeal of God is there, but there's no knowledge. That's Romans 10 and verse 2. For them, the Bible says, for them being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. That's Romans 10 and verse 3. Even with all the zeal that was there, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that was the case. What is it that what I'm trying to say? It don't make no difference what you believe or how you think or how you call on the Lord. In Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? They were prophesying in the name of Jesus. They was casting out devils. But God had no part in that type of worship. How could they be worshiping and not be approved by God? Why would the Lord say, leave me, for I never knew you? Their worship was not according to God's plan. That is the problem that I have with my mother and my father. It's a sorrowful thing. They have a religion, but it's not according to God's plan. And if you don't know God's plan of salvation, you can't worship God. It don't have anything to do with what I believe or what I think or what I feel. It comes down to what said the Lord. Yes, it is the desire of God that all men shall be saved, but salvation comes through true obedience to Christ. Not just by saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Luke 8, verse 27, 28, and 29, those demons that possessed the man in the wilderness, they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They called him Jesus, the Son of God, the Most Highest. Did that belief make them Christians? No. Until one faith brings about obedience, grace have no place in such a man's heart. While I'm talking about grace, what is that grace in the realm of God? I hear people talking about the grace of God. What is the grace of God? Can you worship God any way you choose? Is that the grace of God? Will God's grace give you immunity for anything you choose to do? Is that the grace of God? Is God's grace so great it covers the need to be baptized, the need to worship? Is God's grace so great that there's not anything I can do to obtain God's grace? The reason that God's grace came to this earth is because man had did something that he needed God's grace, and that was sin. What is grace? Grace is an unmerited favor, an undeserved blessing. The world today have a very bad understanding about the grace of God. To believe alone will not bring about God's grace. Confessing your sins alone, it will not bring about God's grace. Just to say that you repent is not enough. But if one finds the love in his heart to do all the above, hear, believe, confess your sins, and be baptized, it will bring about the grace of God. Yes, baptism is very essential to salvation. Because a lot of people said, well, I believe, but I'll get baptized later. Baptism must be there to complete obedience. In 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, the like figure unto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, has put on Christ. Now, being baptized puts on grace. But there was faith, and there was other things there. Belief, hearing, confession, repentance, and baptism. You know, they must have heard something that they believed. What is it that they believed? That Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You see, that all of the above was there. Doing everything the Bible says one must do to obtain grace, salvation, to put on Christ. It covers the world of sin. Grace is there for all, but there is something that you must do to obtain that grace. In Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and low in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The key word is there, learn. There's not anything hard about learning God's word. People can learn everything but God's word. That's because an effort is not put there. Let me tell you something else about God's truth. Everything there in God's truth is true. You hear people saying, "How do you know that the word of God is true?" My simple answer is always the same today as it were yesterday, because God said so. To my knowledge today, there have not been anything proven in the Bible to say that God's word is not true. Scientists have proved a lot of things to say that some of the things in the Bible are true. But with faith, there's no need for you and I to prove or to try to disapprove that God's word is true. The scripture is there for us. The Bible says that all scriptures is given and is inspired of God. That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And to couple that with faith, that's all we need to know. And you can make the right soul-saving choices. There are so many choices of worship in the world today. They call them a wide range. And the Lord knew that it would come to that. That's what Christ was said would happen. In Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16, he says, "Beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are revolting wolves." Webster says, "To revolt is to wander over a wide area." Now let's go up to Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, and hear what Jesus has to say about that wide area. He says, "Enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." He says, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be go in at that gate." That lets me know that there was something wrong with that wide range of religion out in this world today. They seem to be praising God, but just think about what the scripture have to say. You should know them by their fruit. That's Matthew 7:16. And Matthew 7:17 says, "A corrupt tree will bring about evil fruit." That is that wide range of religion out in the world today, over 1,000 plus different denominations. But Jesus in Matthew 7:14 says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And Webster dictionary says, "Straight means without bend, angles of curve, or curves." There is no wide range in straight. You're either going straight or you're going wide. There are only two choices. And if your mind is set to that wide range of religious belief, I mean with the idea we all worship the same God, God hears everyone worship and count it as a blessing, you're wrong. Because on that straight, there was a narrow way. The world's religions say, "Your churches of Christ people are so narrow-minded when it comes to God's salvation." Yes, we are. When someone says, "You people of the Christ the Church are narrow-minded," take it as a compliment. We must be narrow-minded when it comes to God's word. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That's Matthew 7:14. If you're a member of the Church of Christ and you have moved away from that narrow-minded way of thinking, you have moved into that worldly way of thinking, and you are on the wrong track. What is that worldly way of thinking? In the religion today, any church will do. I don't see what choirs are wrong. I don't have any problem with musical or stringed instruments in worship. Women in the pulpit, it's all right. Why? I don't see the importance of taking the Lord's Supper. Why do we have to worship on the first day of the week? Why do we have Bible studies? That's the part of that wide range of thinking. I think you get the idea of what I'm talking about. That wide range of thinking, it's wrong when it comes to salvation. I'm going to try and make it simple and sum up what I'm trying to say. In Ephesians 4 and 3, diligently to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all one. There is no wide range of teaching among the three. They are all the same. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Everything I've read in Ephesians 4 is just one. There's nowhere I've read in the Bible that indicates that there was other churches that was in Christ. But you're always going to hear those that want to try and prove that to be wrong. They'll go back to, well, I see why they called it the Church of God. It means Christ. Read Acts 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit had made you overseer, to shepherd the Church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. This is the key, which he purchased with his own blood. Whom blood are we talking about? Christ. The Church of God here is the Church of Christ. You hear people say, well, they called it the Church of the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, said, blessed be the God and our Lord, Jesus Christ, whom according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and I. Yes, the church of the Lord means Christ is church. That's those that have put on Christ. And if you are a part of a denominational body, you are lost. You are not in Christ. And if, you know, the Bible says something. It says, this is the stone which was set at naught of the builder, which has become the head of the corner. It says, neither there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says simply that we cannot be saved in any other name but Christ's name. Salvation has no other name but Christ's name. I'm not saying to believe makes you a Christian. I'm saying doing what Christ says one must do to be saved. And if you don't know what Christ says one said what one must do to be saved, you're not a Christian. If you want to know what Christ says one must do to be saved, use the principle in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman at work need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. I'm going to end. And I hope that I haven't angered anyone in what I had to speak about. My goal is not to make one to make one think and not to bring one to anger. I know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and who calls according to his purpose. I want everyone to be saved, but that's not my choice. That's the choice that you make. If you are a Christian, and if you have strayed away from God, come, repent. Your soul is at a bad state. And if you are not a Christian, and your heart has moved you to the stand where you understand that God's words need to be in your life, that God needs to be in your life, this is a time for you to come as we stand and sing. Thank you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise
please be seated.
This is the time when we who are the members of the body of Christ here in Bel Air have set aside to give back to the body such that the work of the Lord may continue through the blessings we have received. Would you please pray with me? Our Lord and Father, the great Jehovah, we thank you for the many blessings you have prospered us with. We thank you for the homes that we have, the lives that we have, the jobs, and all the resources you have given us stewardship over. We ask you now to guide us so that we might cheerfully give back, so that your work may continue here, that we might continue to provide for the preachers in far lands, for the building, for this place we have to study, and for the other needs that the body has. We ask, Lord, that you guide us to be of one mind and of cheerful hearts as we give back to you. And we thank you for all these gifts in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus, on the night betrayed, honored God as he blessed the bread, and to his disciples said, thus remember.
Scripture reading is taken from Romans chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Our Lord and Father, we thank you for this bread you have set before us. We thank you for the fact that it represents and stands as a symbol for the body that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave for us on the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice, for loving us so much that you are willing to give your only begotten Son so that we might have the opportunity for salvation. Lord, guide our minds and hearts, guide our souls and beings, that we might peruse and remember the sacrifices made here for us, and guide us to partake of this bread properly in your sight. We thank you for this gift you've provided for us. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
That your Son came down and died on Calvary's cross. Help us to take of this fruit of the vine, which to us Christians represents his blood, and to remember back and do it in a manner well pleasing unto thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Be convening for our classes. We have classes for all ages, and we invite everyone to attend those if you can. After singing the first and last verses of number 260, we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Please stand.
Once from my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand along the
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've had this opportunity to come together and hear more of thy word. We pray that the things that we have done this morning have been in accordance with thy will and a blessing to each of us that have been here. Father, we pray that each of us now will dismiss from this auditorium and attend a class. Father, we know that each of us will gain much knowledge from having been in a good Bible class. Father, we pray for the ones that are not with us this morning. We pray that you would watch over them, and if it be thy will, that you will help them to be back with us as we meet at the next time. We pray now that you will dismiss us from this assembly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.